Checking into Sex Club, Matt Tales After Hours. I'm Matt, your host and the creator of Matt Tales, 40 Years of Gay Adventures, the autobiographical erotica podcast. In Sex Club, I'll talk to guests about gay sex through the last 50 years, from cruising in phone lines to apps and cams. You'll hear tales from other guys and get to tell your own. Each episode will include a live moment, because you should never leave Sex Club until you get what you want. It was definitely BDSM. There was impact play. There was breath control. A lot of different ways to explore that with him. Pretty far. And pretty far for him too. And we were both so turned on by it. And it was like thrilling and a little like scary, but we knew each other and we went there and we just kept going and going and going. It was really, really intense.
Well, we kind of view it like a house with lots of different rooms in it. And he is my alpha primarily.
Yeah.
Which is a kind of type of dom, but it's a dom that exists permanently, not just in the bedroom. And it's a hierarchical thing where there's a comfortable and accepted power exchange that isn't effortful. It is a really chilled out sort of... for example, I was in the supermarket today and I packed up his bags at the supermarket, and he just handed them to me as we were walking towards the car. Like it's that level of, you do this because you're beta, and really, really, really low key like that. And obviously it comes out in different ways. Sometimes it's more intense than others, but it's a tacit headspace that we're always in. We have kind of four different headspaces. He's always my alpha. Quite often he's my daddy. That's when things are a little bit closer. That's a side we don't really show on camera very much. Yeah. He is often sir when we're being a little bit more formal, and rarely, but when we're at our most intense, he will be master. And there are scenes, for example, the face slapping scene that I showed you, that was very master slave, intense. And it's almost like a spectrum, and we're always on a slight tilt in the seesaw in terms of the hierarchy, but the more tilted it becomes, the more intense the headspace is and the different terms we use. So at its most extreme, he's my master, but I guess at its least extreme, he's my daddy, and therefore we have a spectrum of different headspaces, and they're all just rooms within the one house. They all do the same thing, but to various different degrees and extremities. I remember running home on my school lunch break and getting online and searching for, whatever. Well, I think I did a Google image search, and there were these two fit daddies, probably 40s or 50s, hairy, like on top of each other. Mid fuck, and it was like one guy was like on top of a, I don't know, kitchen side or maybe like a some sort of metal table or something like that, and I can still see the image of the two guys, and they looked so passionate with each other, and it looked so intense, but it also looked so hyper masculine. And it's the first time I had seen gay guys who weren't young, twinky, femme, hairless. I was like, oh my God, this isn't fucking, this is like man fucking. And I was like, that is really hot. I was like, yeah, the twinks can get in the bin. This is what I'm after. My first sex was terrible. It was awful. I hooked up with a guy off Grindr and I had the most vanilla session I'd ever had. Still to this day, I got on top of him. We made out for a while. I sucked his dick for a bit and then I rode his dick and it was terrible. And I thought, this is sore, this is uncomfortable, this is boring. And I was like, this can't be it.
this can't be it. This cannot be it. And that was my one and only genuine vanilla session. And I have not been vanilla since. Everything since then has had some sort of power dynamic, some sort of inequality where there's someone in charge and there's someone not. Because that is the thing that I thrive on massively. Because like without that kind of experience, it just doesn't hit the mark for me. So even if it's like, you know, a fairly vanilla guy who just wants his, you know, dick sucked or something like that, I'm going to get really dominant with him, or I'm going to get him to slap me about or something like that, because it needs to have that spark for me. Otherwise, I just find it so boring.
How did you start to get there?
Well, there were two key moments, well, two key things, really. I joined Recon and I met up with a guy who I kind of knew already. And we'd never done anything sexual, and he was a sort of colleague that I was distantly in touch with, but not someone I was particularly close to. Anyway, I always thought he was really hot. And he messaged me on Recon and we got chatting, and I didn't have any gear really at this point. And he was like, right, okay, we'll do a session, come to my place. And the first thing that happened, and this is one of my real formative experiences that has shaped my sexual identity since, was he invited me to his flat and he said, the door will be open, let yourself in, get naked, and there's a hood on the floor, put the hood on and wait for me. And when you're ready, I will come and get you. And I remember finding that, I know I must have been 18, finding that the most intense, enthralling thing that I'd ever done. And I remember clear as day sitting there in that hood waiting with my dick throbbing in so hard. And he was like, I could smell the horn off you. Like I was like pumping out the horn. It was filling the room. And I was like, oh my God, this is already, and nothing's happened, this is already better than that first fuck I've ever had, right? I was like, and nothing's happened, because it's just all psychological for me. And the other thing that I found that really ticked a box for me was leather. And I bought a couple items from Regulation London. I'd always found the masculinity of leather. My dad was a biker, so there's probably something in that. And I remember his boots, his jacket, I remember finding it really, really hot. Not particularly on him, but I remember finding the garments and stuff like that really, really hot. And I ordered some stuff from Regulation in London. And I just remember opening my wardrobe just to smell that intoxicating, warm, masculine, leathery smell. And I was like, right, okay, I found something that really turns me on. There's so much in porn and in the sex industry that likes to reinforce those stereotypes.
That's right.
Like the little twinky, hairless bottom, who's daddy, really needy, really submissive and powerless. And then like the alpha male, hairy chested, dumb top, I'm going to choke you out and fuck you. And you know what? That can be really hot. But there's also something to be said for fucking about with that. Like the first time I dom bottomed a guy and I climbed on top of the guy and I was like, I'm going to fucking get your dick hard. I'm going to choke you out if you don't satisfy me. And I'm going to ride your dick until I milk your balls into my ass. And he was like, oh my God. And I was like, yes, fucking take it, boy. And I was like, and he was like, but bottoms don't do that. I was like,
wow. But you're going to, because we're doing it because we're right here, right now, and this is what's happening.
Exactly. And it's so fun to take that like archetype, to take that stereotype and those things that you see in porn all the time and just go, you know what, I'm going to turn that on its head because fuck it. I don't know. I always find the best doms are former subs. And there's a big thing in the leather community about training up younger guys, and they start off submissive and then they get to a stage where they are empowered and schooled enough almost to become a dom. And that's like a really old guard tradition, which I think actually has a lot of merit to it. And I almost find it a red flag when a dom says to me, yeah, I'm a dom and I've never subbed. And, you know, I have always been an alpha male. And you go, the best doms are the guys who know how it feels to do the thing that they're doing. You know, the first thing Leo will do when he picks up a pain implement in a shop is try it on himself because he wants to feel what that sensation is like. He doesn't say, hey, boy, come here. He does it on himself because it's leading by example. Why do I dom? Because, well, I love it. I really get off on it. And I love guys looking at me the way I know I look at guys, with that lust and that submission and that, you know, do anything to me, I'm yours type mentality. That's really, really intoxicating, and you can really get off on that. But also, I just really enjoy the intensity of it. I don't really care what we do. I just care that it's intense. And if that is me looking up at you, sucking your dick, going, "Yeah, you own me. You own everything about me." And make me choke on this and make me decide between air or dick, right? Yeah. Or being in exactly the opposite position where I'm looking down at that person and experiencing that from the other end. It's not necessarily about the role for me. It's about the intensity and having a connection that feels really electric, which is the thing I don't think I got when I had that first vanilla session. And you know what? I have had sessions that are fairly vanilla in terms of what you're doing. You know, kissing the guy, you're wanking him off, you're sucking his dick, and then you're fucking him. Like, that's not particularly kinky. Yeah, sure, I'm in a leather jockstrap while I'm doing it. But if that intensity of the headspace is there, then that does everything else for you.
For sure. Like, if I can't fuck with my head now, I can't even get hard.
It's crazy though, isn't it? Because it's all cognitive. It's all cognitive.
And when you find someone to connect with, to play with that way, it's crazy hot. It's like so hot.
And you feel like when you make that connection that you've ruined sex for all the other guys now, that you're never going to find it sexy with someone else.
What used to be kink for us in a world with no internet, you know, was, you know, you can imagine the list. But there was a lot more to just even being gay was almost kinky. being out was kinky. Wearing boots, you know, in the summer was kinky. Like, it had a slightly wider definition. So many things are more accepted now. What do you think kink is?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. I think kink, when it's done right, is the ultimate expression of self-identity and really getting to grips with knowing yourself in a really brave way, because I think a lot of kinks require a bit of courage. I did a session which is available on all my platforms with my alpha recently, and we were filming 4 or 5 clips in a day because we were doing a block filming day, as content creators quite often do. The first scene was some wax play. The second scene was some throat fucking. And the third scene, he says, "All right, I'm going to do some face slapping with you." And I thought, well, that'll be fine. And then the next scene was due to be some quite heavy pain play and flogging. And basically, I was getting myself in the headspace to take that. So we do this third scene. And he gets me on the end of this bondage table. And he's in full bluff leather. I'm in just a pair of leather jeans and some boots. And I feel the power come out of him when he started to find himself in the scene, and he's pacing around and he's really getting into the zone, and you can feel a cold, masterly level of dominance coming out of him. He wasn't daddy, he wasn't alpha, he was very much a master or a sir. It was quite a brutal level of dominance before he'd done anything, and I was like, oh my god, this is gonna be intense. So then he's got his gloves on and he just starts slapping my face, and he picks up the tempo and I'm breathing through it, and it's, you know, it's quite intense. And then he's roughing up my body, and then he goes in harder and he goes in harder and he goes in harder. And I'm starting to feel really kind of, I can feel it in my chest. It's starting to get quite difficult. And then he gets a roll of gaffer tape and he puts the duct tape over my mouth. And he keeps going and he keeps going and he keeps going and he keeps going. And at this point, I'm really struggling to keep my breathing and rhythm and check.
Yeah.
And then the tears start. And I was like, oh my God, this is new territory for me. And then I was like, I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna really cry in a second here. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then it happened. Like, the sound erupted out of me of like, intensity, and it was so intense, and not for a moment was I not into it. I was looking up at him and I was like, oh my god, this is such an intense experience. But that, the reason we were able to explore that was I had an insane amount of trust in this person. This was a person that I was entirely able to go to the brink with and be brave with myself and trust that person to show that person me completely naked, emotionally naked, able to completely express myself without any filter whatsoever. So that's at a level of self-expression that is pure vulnerability and exposure of yourself, but also incredible trust in the other person on that level of power play, and the bravery to go, yeah, that gets my debt card. You know what? That's really fucked up, and it gets my debt card. And I can see you really getting off on this as well. And this is a safe space. We can do this safely. We can do this consensually. And you know what? If it starts to become unhealthy, then we stop. But at the moment, this feels so intense, but it also feels really good. And therefore, let's just be adults about it, not carry any stigma into this and go, you know what? Fuck it. Let's have fun. And if that's our level of fun, then I don't care who judges me for it, but that's what I did and I got off on it. And to me, that's kink. It's that level of self-belief, self-expression, knowing your identity, and being able to go, you know what, I like this thing and I'm not really scared of it.
I've learned how to turn pain into pleasure, and that is a gift.
That's a skill. That is a real skill. And that takes practice and commitment as well.
It does. How do you feel about pain?
Pain is something that I've only recently started a more positive relationship with. Like I've been flogged with guys by guys earlier in my kind of explorations, and it made me angry. It made me really pissed off at the person who was doing it. I was like, no, fuck you. I'll fucking hit you harder. And so I didn't connect with it. I just didn't connect with it. But it's something that recently I've been able to try and at least see that there's a headspace that exists where I can convert one to the other. And for me, it's focusing on the other person's satisfaction of, right, I can see how much this is getting him off. So I'm going to push myself as hard as I possibly can to make sure I take it. So that's where the pleasure comes in for me. And therefore I can see it as a challenge, and I can see it as empowering of, go on, you beat me harder, daddy, type thing. And I want to see their eyes light up when they do it. And so my alpha Leo does this thing. It's a very foreplay thing. You'll get me to tense my chest, and then he'll start punching out my chest, and he'll get me to tense my abs. So it's like, it's I'm like engaged, and in a, I'm not really in a submissive position. I'm like primed for it, and he's primed for it. And you can smell the sweat, and you can see the look in his eyes when he's really engaged in it, and you can see. You can see him fired up. And that really got me off at first. And I was like, hang on, this really hurts, but I'm really into it. So I think often it takes that thread. You've got to pull the right thread, and then the whole thing undoes itself. And once you find the person that just goes, how about we try this in this way, with this headspace, then suddenly the parachute opens, right?
And at that point, you realize that your natural relationship or your natural dynamic with that person is unequal. And actually, that's really cool. And the more we try and make it equal, the harder it feels, the more taxing it feels. And therefore, there's no role play about it. And then that allows you to start exploring different headspaces within that consensual inequality.
Yeah.
When I first encountered Leo, I found his Instagram, and he only had a few hundred followers at that point, and I was quite well established, and I thought, who is this guy, this kind of, you know, late 20s blonde, you know, very handsome but also quite boyish. He was certainly was a lot more boyish then. Leather man who lives apparently very near me. How have I been on this scene and in this part of the country for such a long time and never come across him? And I was like, he's such a catfish. He's definitely using some Southern Californian surfer boy who likes a bit of leather. He's using his profile pictures on this Instagram. So I was convinced he wasn't real. And I was in Malta on the Mediterranean on holiday. And I messaged him. I was like, hey man, you know, all right, mate. I was like, I hear you kind of do content kind of similar to what I do. We should meet up for a drink sometime, mate. He said to me, he says, yeah, that'd be really cool. I'm based, you know, not that far from you. Let's meet up when you get back. And I thought, yeah, sure, this profile's going to disappear as soon as he realizes that I'm just down the road. Anyway, I've set up a time for him to come and visit my flat. And what do you know? He turned up.
California boy was there all along. Yeah.
And I opened the front door. And I went, oh my God. And it's strange. I knew at that point that that person was important. Mm-hmm. That person, you know, was someone who wasn't gonna, I didn't know why and I didn't know for what reason, but I was like, oh, this person is, I could see this person being an important person in my life.
Yeah.
And I had no idea of who he was at that point at all. But I just saw this person standing with confidence and a real sense of self-identity. And I think that resonated in here massively. And I went, ah, oh, here's someone that I can learn from. And here's someone that I can give something to, and that they can give me something, and there can be a nice consonance there. And it's strange because we've only discussed that very recently of what my first impression of him was. And we both find that very, very strange on a spiritual level, which is interesting. But yeah, it's really, really cool because they had that spark.
Yeah.
That spark, that thing that thing you can't quantify that draws you to that person.
Yeah.
And that's super cool.
Yeah.
And that goes above any kind of kink dynamic whatsoever. And that doesn't even need to be a romantic thing or you just meet those people in life. They can be your best friend, they can be a work colleague, they can be a partner, a dom, a sub, or anything that just sparks you and makes you go, ah, you're someone I need to invest in. And it's wonderful when you make those connections.
Teacher, I'm bent over a table in the far back room of the maze, being fucked by a hot young guy wearing a jock and harness. He's pushing into me over and over, and I'm down on my elbows, head to the table, taking it. I look up to see a handsome, muscular man, about 40 years old, standing on the other side of the table, looking, watching me get fucked. His eyes are blue, bright, and piercing, and he has a slight, knowing smile on his lips. He stares, and I stare back, locking eyes together. The guy fucking me pulls out, stands me up, and puts his arms around my chest, his fingers on my nipples. I'm still facing the blue-eyed man, who now slowly walks toward me. Our eyes remain locked, and my breath becomes shallow as he nears. He is solid, with wide shoulders and a beautiful body, his cock hanging large between his thighs. He now stands just inches from me. He runs his hands firmly over my chest and up and around my neck and shoulders. He pulls my arms up over my head and slides the hands of the guy who's behind me up around my wrists, then guides him to pull them down behind my back, and he does. Hold him, he tells him. He puts his fingers on my nipples and squeezes hard, and my breath stops. He turns them forcefully, and I moan in pain, and his blue eyes get brighter. A third guy, to my right, has been watching. Take his balls into your hand, he tells the third guy, and he does. He puts his own hand over that hand and squeezes it hard, showing him what to do. I wince and move back against the guy holding me, and the eyes get brighter again. Now harder, he tells the third guy, and as my balls begin to be turned, his hands return to my nipples and push them deep into my chest, twisting them. I struggle in all directions now, and the guy behind me pulls my wrist tighter, and I can hear his breath change as well, responding to what's happening. You're teaching them, I say, and he nods. They need to know, he says, making a fist and punching my chest hard, first with his right, then with his left, then his right again. The guy behind me now slips his hard cock back up into me, and I cry out. Harder, he tells them both, and puts his forearm across my neck, choking and pushing me, with the other two guys, back into the dark corner of the room.
Two pretty aggressive tops were like at me for a long time and like hitting me pretty hard and whatever, and it was very, very hot and whatever. And the guy, like, we took a break and the guy goes, "You need therapy." And I was like, "Dude, this is therapy."
You're checking out of Sex Club, Matt Tells After Hours. Throw your towel into the basket and please come back for more hot guests and gay sex. Please leave a rating or review. Hit me up if you want to tell your story or submit your audio. Go to matttells.com and follow Matt Tells and Sex Club on Instagram or Facebook at Matt Tells Gay Adventures. You can always message the fuck out of me at matttellspod@gmail.com.
Hey, this is Matt, your host. A special shout out to a good friend in Southern California for providing us with those beautiful sounds of fucking and sucking, also provided by your host. And check out my fetish page on Twitter at WatchesMuscle.
Hey, I'm Corian101. I'm a fetish content creator based in the UK, and you can find me on Just For Fans and OnlyFans. I'm at Corian101, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram too.
Your first sex was the only vanilla sex you've had.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing. You also didn't give up. You also got right back on the horse.
I was like, no. This is not the shit I've seen on the internet.